Reinhardt, and I am blessed to be here this morning to share the gospel with you. I'll be reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 20. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, when the God of peace will be with you. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, but I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help once and more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At a moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts that you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
I need some encouragement, don't you? I need encouraging in my life. I need a place where I can feel comfort. I need a place where I can feel a fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Do you want some of that? My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we're on the final one in our series of rubbish. Everybody say, ah. I know, you're all very sad. You don't want to see any more rubbish up here. But this is the final one in the series as we've been focusing on Philippians, where Paul has been writing a letter to Philippi and trying to encourage them. It's the most encouraging book in the New Testament. And we've been talking the last few weeks about rubbish and whether people are rubbish. And we found out that all people are not rubbish. Amen? People isn't rubbish. Neither are even our circumstances, even though they're rubbish, God can work in and amongst them. And we've been talking about how all the different areas of our life, prayer, circumstances, people, and even amongst all the rubbish, we are able to be encouraged by belonging to Christ Jesus. And Paul said in chapter 3, verse 8, I consider everything else I've ever gained in comparison to that, my relationship with Christ, rubbish. And so we've been talking about rubbish these last few weeks and how there is a lot of rubbish around in our lives. This week, we're talking about encouragement. Is encouragement rubbish? Is it just a load of baloney? Is it just like, you know, pie in the sky kind of attitude? Are you just being Pollyanna about things? Pollyanna is an expression we get from the 1913 book about a young girl who was an orphan. And even amongst all the different places and all the different people that she'd interacted with and all the rubbish and trash that she'd dealt with in her life, she was able to have a positive attitude. She was able to have positive thinking. And we've now got that term, Pollyanna thinking. Focus on things that are positive. Now it has negative connotations. Often when we say, oh, you're just being Pollyanna, we say that you're focusing on positive and not realistic. You're not wise and you're pithy in your thinking. You're not paying attention to what's going on right now. Is encouragement just rubbish? How many of you have gathered here today looking and seeking for some encouragement? Raise your hand. Yeah. We need encouragement. If you don't need encouragement, you can leave right now. That's cool. Just kidding. Being encouraged, being lifted up, being supported in my decisions and my understanding of life was not something I experienced in my hometown growing up in the northwest of England. Being encouraged to do something, being empowered, being lifted to a place where you could be better in life was not something that was high on people's agendas. It was normally something on the lines of, oh, pull your socks up, will ya? Or get over it, move on with it. Or you're a big boy now, put your big pants on. My grandfather, who served in the Second World War, was in the war in Burma, suffered a shrapnel wound in his leg that he suffered with all his life. He would often say, just keep that stiff upper lip from England. That'll help you. That always helps, right? Thanks, England. As you've seen in the video, we were privileged and blessed to provide encouragement down in Cape Coral this week. A team of us went down to Cape Coral to assist in some of the cleanup and to be encouraging and to offer some comfort and to dwell in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We met Lynn down there. It was our first afternoon down there. We met Lynn. And I've got a slide for you. I think I put it in the deck there. I put a slide of you. Lynn's home, what it looked like. And this small trailer that she lived in. We were in the worst neighborhood that we could possibly be in. And this is across the street, in fact, in the street that we were on. And you can see all the trees fell on this trailer. It destroyed the back of this gentleman's house. And the first day we were across the street from this at Lynn's house. There's a church bus there, number 82. We were across the street at Lynn's house, and Lynn had suffered some damage, and the roof was leaking already in this poverty-stricken neighborhood, and low-income roof was leaking. And so we went to cover the roof and tarp the roof. We went to offer encouragement and comfort. And often you go to offer encouragement, and we got encouragement from her. Even in her poverty-stricken state, even in the roof leaking everywhere on the other side of this road, she was able to be positive. We were teamed up with Grace Church down in Cape Coral, and the pastor down there has got a whole team of people sorting out which projects go where. And this particular woman actually was a big member of the church. She said, "Oh, I'm so glad your church is here," she said. "I'm so glad you're partnering with Grace. I go to that church. I'm involved in dinner church, and I'm so thankful that you are here." And we topped her roof, and when we left from there, we felt encouraged, even amongst the trash that was in the neighborhood. Trees and trees all lined up, 10 foot high, tree garbage up and down the street in the neighborhoods down there. Even amongst the trash of the situations, destroyed homes, windows smashed in, we were able to put a window on a piece of wood on a window and cover a roof. Even amongst that, she was able to feel encouraged. She was able to feel comforted and to have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And those pictures are on our Facebook, and you can see them there. But how was she able to feel encouraged? Her house is leaking. How was she able to know the comfort that we were providing? It's just discomfort all over the streets. A reminder of the hurricane that passed on through. How was she able to know fellowship with the Holy Spirit when she was unable to afford to get to church? Yeah, even in amongst homes that are falling to bits, even in amongst homes that are in rich neighborhoods, even amongst the pain of losing a loved one and then losing their home and then losing their car, watching their car float down the street, people were able to feel encouraged and comforted and know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, even in amongst all of this trash. Where does that encouragement come from? Is it just pie in the sky? Is it just Pollyanna thinking and not really thinking about what we possibly should do? Let's get this place fixed up. Let's get it back to together. Let's put the bridge over to the island. Is it just Pollyanna thinking? Where does the source of Lynn's encouragement come from? Paul, of course, was in a discouraging situation. Paul was in a bit of a trashy situation. He'd been spreading the gospel. He's been communicating the gospel to the people of Philippi. And now he was in chains with another Roman special forces soldier. Let's face it, his situation was pretty rubbish. And yet, he was able to write one of his most encouraging letters that we have today. And Anna read that to you this morning, and we're going to go over it again. We're in the last chapter, the best chapter of Philippians. In fact, there's so much stuff in there that if you're down, if you're discouraged and discomforted, if you're not feeling the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, read this text. We're going to go there. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 4. Don't forget where Paul is. Don't forget where he's writing this. If you've got your phone, open it up to Philippians, mark it, copy, paste it, put it in your notes, whatever it is you do, and just remember this beautiful chapter. Out of all the other series that we've done, remember this. He says, "Always be full of the joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon." So where is Paul's first source of encouragement? Where's Paul's first source of encouragement for his ability to encourage? His first place is rejoice. And that's our first principle for today. Rejoice. Rejoice in our relationship with the Lord is the first place we start up. The very reason that Lynn could rejoice is because she also shared in the same relationship with God that we did. Oh, other people who also understand who God is. As we walked up the six, oh, I rejoice that you are here. So that's the first thing. That's the very basic thing. Rejoice. We're going to get to the circumstances in a minute. Rejoice in the Lord always. In another version, I say it again, rejoice and be considerate in all you do. Very straightforward. Be considerate in all you do. The next thing I want you to be, this is a real easy one. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. When he says don't worry here, he doesn't mean, oh, don't worry about it, get on with it. It doesn't mean like, you know, pull your socks off, don't worry about it. It doesn't mean like just ignore the details because the details don't matter. He doesn't say that. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, do what? Pray about everything. In fact, if you're worrying, you can feel it going across your head. If you're worrying about something, you're like, you turn it into prayer. Yeah, think of a family member. I'm worried about this family member. Just turn it into prayer immediately. You can feel it going across your head. I'm going to start worrying about this any minute now. Oh, pray about it. Don't worry. Instead, pray about it. Tell God what you need. God can handle it. God can handle what you need. Yeah, it says need here, not want. We're going to get back to the wants in a minute. Need. And thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Of course, it's kind of hard to see the kind of peace when your house is uprooted. It's hard to have a physical peace when your car's not there anymore. It's floated down the street. This is kind of the things we've seen down there. It's kind of hard to not have peace when your roof's leaking. You've got to move out. Paul's saying that the root of our peace is in Christ Jesus. So the second one, the first one was rejoice, and the next one was do not worry, but instead of worrying, you should pray. Change the neuron path. You feel it come over. You feel it coming over. You're like, oh, I'm going to worry about this. Change the neuron path. Then you'll experience God's peace. You don't experience God's peace before you pray about it. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and our minds. So the first one is rejoice. The next one is do not worry. And we've seen that in the different people that were down there. We've seen how people were able to rejoice and not to worry. In fact, some of the people down there, they say, yeah, I've lost three walls. We had 3 foot in our house. And the cars are still going. But we're not as bad as that person down the street. Immediately, they were able to say, we're good. We've got electricity now. But other people, and they're experiencing a peace that we couldn't understand. The people that were offering the encouragement, the mission team, couldn't understand. In fact, if we worry, the English root of the word there, worry, means to strangle. When we worry, it strangles us, doesn't it? When we start to worry. In fact, the word means pull apart. Pull apart so our thoughts are in so many different directions. When we have hope, our thoughts are in one direction. Yeah, if we're worried about all the different things, this is what happened to me when I'm waking up in the morning, you know, you're worried about all the different things. Our minds are stretched in so many different ways. And then the hope of following Jesus brings us back to one direction. And that's what we've seen in the people down in Cape Coral. They were hopeful in the Lord. They were hopeful. And we got together with them after doing whatever project they needed doing. And we prayed with them, and they were so hopeful. Even in amongst all of the trash, even amongst all of the garbage, even amongst all the rubbish laying around, they were able to experience peace and not worry. So the first one is rejoice. The next one is do not worry. And then the third one is fix your thoughts. Dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. It's not one final thing because he's not finished yet, right? One final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me do, and then the God of peace will be with you. There's a whole sermon series right there in those couple of passages. Yeah, fix your thoughts. Here's a place for your thoughts to go instead of anxiety, instead of worry, instead of a mental health problems, instead of a stress in your body and eventually affecting your stomach. Fix your thoughts on what is true and what is honorable. Not on the newest conspiracy theory coming out, amen? Fix your thoughts on what. Is there something good going on in your family? Focus on it. If there's something good, like, oh, we got electricity back, focus on it. If there's something good going on in your life this week, especially if it's honorable to the Lord, fix your thoughts and focus on that. Fix on what is lovely and excellent. And the Greek word there for excellent is arete. Arete is a Greek word that means things that have virtue, things that have goodness, things that are wonderful. Fix your thoughts on those things. Alter the neuro. There's a lot of research now out. Scientists have done a lot of research on our neuroplasticity. That's the ability to change the neuron paths in our mind. Actually thinking and fixing, this is not Pollyanna. Fixing and thinking about things that are good in our lives changes the neurons in your brain. You want that, right? Oh, let's read those things. Focus on these things. Stick it on your mirror. Stick it in a place that you look every morning, on the kettle, on the coffee pot. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and lovely. Keep putting into practice. Some key words there, perhaps for another time. Put things into practice. So we've got rejoice, we've got don't worry, and now we've got fix our thoughts. So it's like the opposite of don't worry. Fix our thoughts. Fix our thoughts on what is right and good. Arete, what is excellent. Verse 10, he says, how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but and you remember he started the letter off like this, thanking for the support he had. I always thank you how concerned you are for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is in a full stomach or an empty stomach, with plenty or little. For this week, with a house with flood water in, with a house with flood water not in. For I can do everything through Christ Jesus, who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. Paul had been helped by them. And they had genuine concern for Paul. They had genuine concern for whom he was and what he was doing. And because they had genuine concern, they gave financially. They gave as a group of people. And the leaders at Philippi gave financially to Paul when he was under house arrest. And he gave because they were concerned. It was like, Paul thought it was like manna from heaven, literally. He says, whether he's under house arrest, whether he's being persecuted, whether he's having a storm in the middle of the Mediterranean. He's under the sea is causing the ship to be in a shipwreck. Even amongst all of this, he's able to be content. And this other verse, I got to highlight this verse. This verse here gets highlighted a lot and used a lot. And he says, I can do all things. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Who's heard that verse before? Yeah, because normally it's tattooed on somebody or it's written on the back of a t-shirt. I can climb higher. Paul's not talking about climbing to the top of a mountain. Paul's not talking about going fast in a 5K. He's not talking about lifting a bunch of weights in the gym, neither. He's talking about the inner strength he has no matter what circumstance is going on, no matter whether the street is full of sludge from a hurricane, no matter whether he's going through his own hurricane at sea, Wilson, traveling to Malta, no matter whether he's being persecuted or whether he's locked up, he has this inner strength that helps him to do what he needs to do. So whether he's hungry or whether he's got a load of food, whether he's down on his luck or whether somebody's providing for him, he's learned to be content. Have genuine concern for people. We definitely seen some of that down in Cape Coral too. People who had nothing having genuine concern for one another. And finally, the last little section here of the scripture. Almost the last question. He says, as you know, you Philippines were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. He'd been given two. He knew the rewards of this. And Paul says, I want you to receive something for your kindness. I want you to be blessed. And this is the last neuron path that is good for us. See, when we give to someone, the other science studies they've done is when we give to someone or something, not being coerced, not being guilted into it, not being hit over the head with the Bible and saying, hey, you should do this. When we give to someone out of our open heart, actually our neuron path tells us, I feel good about myself. Actually, they've done studies to say that my neuron paths have realigned and I feel better. I feel and know I'm participating in something that is bigger than myself. And Paul says, because of this, I want you to receive kindness. I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. The moment I have all I need, he says, and more, I'm generously supplied with the gifts you've sent me with Epaphroditus. They are sweet smelling sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your wants, all your needs. And here at Palm Harbor, we've collected over $8,000 for missions. This just in the 2 weeks that this hurricane happened. And this church is a giving church. We have open-hearted generosity. And Paul is thanked the people that have given to him. And it's my joy to thank you for giving to your church. And if you give to this church, thank you. If it's your first time today, this little bit's not for you, by the way. But if you're a member here, if you've been coming here for a while, and you consider this your church, you consider the sharing of the gospel, you consider the gathering people together to sing along with the choir, if you consider participating in encouragement and in comfort and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, do this last thing that Paul said, that Paul was thankful for. Give. Give help. Give financially. Some of you give with your talents and your time, and we also need to give with our treasure. If you get no money, if you're like Lynn across the street who's got no money to give, she gave to a little dinner program. She gave her dollar. And maybe that's you today. You haven't got much money, but you love being participated in the church. Give you $2 a week, what it is you can afford. If you can afford 10 a week, then go ahead and do that. If you are blessed and you're the kind of person who's blessed with wealth, or you've been given a money to live on, and you say, I want to be a part of that, you can do that today, and you're more than welcome to give way more than $10. But in order for us to do ministry, in order for us to move on in our lives, in order for us to continue the amazing work around in Palm Harbor, we must give and be so that you can participate in the gospel growth in Palm Harbor. Amen? That's what we want. That's the idea. That's what we want to move on to in the future. And I want to encourage you to do that. If you know and you can rejoice in the Lord, if you can you can fix your thoughts, and they're the important things, not to worry, be able to fix your thoughts, then you can give out of the dwelling thankfulness in your heart. Encouragement is not rubbish. And there's ways to give. We put them up on the slide each week. You can text in to give, 78866-GIVE. You can mail it in. You can do it online right now. Just pull it up at phumc.net and give. And if you do, thank you. And if you're in person here today, you can give online as well. But if you're in person here today, you can give in the boxes at the back if you haven't done that already. But the only way you can give is if you know the indwelling presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know this by the power of his love. You know that you can fix your thoughts on him. When we know the encouragement of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can give out of our abundance. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you that you are the source of all our encouragement. Thank you, Lord God, that you are an encouragement to us. As just as we gather here, we feel your comfort, we feel your presence. Thank you, Lord, that we know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, you would move our hearts to give as we are able. We ask, Lord God, that you would bless us and bless this church as we go on in ministry, as we go on a mission into Cape Coral and beyond. And we ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.